Now it is time to talk Dictionary of Sydney. Nicole Carmer joins me. A very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now it's NAIDOC Week.
Yes.
We've been doing a few stories around this on Breakfast over the week. We've been pretty excited about it. You've got one hell of a story though.
Yes, Barangaroo, which I think most people think of the suburb now, sadly.
They do, sadly.
And not of this amazing Eora woman, this fisherwoman who was just so highly skilled and talented and very intimidating, apparently.
Apparently terrifying.
Terrifyingly. So Barangaroo was actually a member of the Cammeraygal clan, which and her country was in around North Harbour in Manly.
Okay.
And Grace Karskens, who's a professor at UNSW, has written a great book. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's called The Colony. It's an amazing book about early colonial Sydney. And she has also written extensively about Barangaroo. And she reckons that Barangaroo was likely part of a group that actually, of Cammeraygal women who met what they called, and apologies in advance if I'm mispronouncing, the Berriwalgal, which were basically means people from a distant land.
Oh,
so the white newcomers.
The white newcomers.
Which was in at Manly in February 1788. So it was a very important.
Very early meeting.
Yeah, very, very early.
Yeah.
But also the first time that the British were meeting Aboriginal women. And the British officers, though the British officers actually first met Barangaroo in 1790, and they found her very intimidating and very striking, and they estimated her age to be about 40 at the time. Now, she had actually survived the deadly smallpox epidemic in 1789, which just completely decimated the Eora population. She'd lost two children and a husband during that epidemic. And so she'd seen her fair share of hardship after this, you know, the Berriwalgal came. And she actually married another well-known figure that you might have heard of, Bennelong.
Yes, I did hear this.
So another person who's become very famous in Australia's early colonial history. And Barangaroo was fiercely determined. She refused to wear the clothing that was offered by the British. Some Aboriginal women did adopt the clothing. She refused to wear clothing. And she also aggressively challenged Bennelong, much to the surprise of the British onlookers, who noted that in their journals. And one officer, Watkin Tench, his diaries are very famous
very
at that
famous.
Time. And he described her as a scold and a vixen. Wouldn't be the first time a woman's been called that before.
No.
I wonder what Barangaroo would have thought about if she, I don't know if she understood those words, but what she would have thought of that.
I think
probably
she would have
just
been
didn't
probably
care.
Proud,
maybe. What I find most fascinating about Barangaroo, forget what, you know, the white men thought of her, she was a really skilled fisherwoman, and Eora fisherwomen were the main food providers for their people.
Oh.
So it was a really interesting dynamic between Aboriginal men and women at the time, that they were very skilled, and they would actually, and this I find this really interesting, that the British actually drew illustrations of these practices, and women would balance in their bark canoes, or nawi, as it was called. And sometimes in rough conditions, any kind of conditions, they'd be balancing in these little bark canoes that I'm sure that if any of us tried to do it, we'd just capsize immediately. Whilst at the same time manoeuvring lines and hooks and partially diving into the waters to fish. And at the same time, often these women had their children in the canoes with them with fire on clay pot pits for warmth and cooking. So they were cooking at the same time as fishing
out.
And as well as raising their children in these canoes. And so I just thought multitasking at its
incredible.
Best. And they were really just extraordinary the way that they managed to do that. And Grace Carsons actually writes in this Dictionary of Sydney article that the Eora men mostly used canoes just to get from one place to the other and would mainly focus their hunting efforts onshore using multi-pronged spears. So it's just a really interesting kind of, that was the women's role. Was
two wildly different techniques.
Very different and just highly skilled. So, you know, Barangaroo really was such a fascinating woman, but unfortunately she died in 1791. So very shortly after the British arrived and after giving birth to her baby girl. And she was cremated in with her fishing gear beside her, and Bennelong buried her ashes in the garden of First Government House. which is where Museum of Sydney currently is located. So
she's buried there.
She's buried there. Her ashes. So fascinating woman.
What a quick life to have in terms of, as we understand, a reported life.
And also, like, she was obviously someone who stood out above the rest, because she was someone who was written about a lot. It is kind of frustrating that you kind of get that perspective from white men, but, you know.
Very. And what a legacy to have a suburb that we know as having casinos in.
Yes. Yes.
How wonderful.
We need to remember her more, I think.
And if we could do that, we could find some more stories on Dictionary of Sydney, I hope.
Yep, dictionaryofsydney.org.
Nicole Karmer, thank you very much.
Thank you.